and Convoy's assistant do not sleep. But let me hear from you.
Do you doubt that?
For Hamlet and the trifling of his favour, hold it a fashion and a toy in blood. A violet in the youth of primy nature, forward, not permanent. Sweet, not lasting. The perfume and suppliance of a minute, no more.
No more but so.
Think it no more. For nature crescent does not grow alone in thews and bulks, but as this temple waxes, the inward service of the mind and soul grows wide with awe. Perhaps he loves you now. And now no soil nor cortal doth besmirch the virtue of his will, but you must fear. His greatness weighed, his will is not his own. For he himself is subject to his birth. He may not, as unvalued persons do, carve for himself, for on his choice depends the safety and health of this whole state. And therefore must his choice be circumscribed unto the voice and yielding of that body whereof he is the head. Then if he says he loves you, it fits your wisdom so far to believe it, as he in his particular act and place may give his saying deed, which is no further than the main voice of Denmark goes withal. Then weigh what loss your honour may sustain if with too credent ear you list his songs, or lose your heart or your chaste treasure open to his unmastered importunity. Fear it, Ophelia, fear it, my dear sister. And keep you in the rear of your affection, out of the shot and danger of desire. The chariest maid is prodigal enough if she unmasked her beauty to the moon. Virtue itself scapes not calumnious strokes. The canker galls the infants of the spring too oft before their buttons be disclosed, and in the morn and liquid dew of youth, contagious blastments are most imminent. Be wary, then. Best safety lies in fear. Youth to itself rebels, though none else near.
I shall the effect of this good lesson keep as watchman to my heart. But, good my brother, do not, as some ungracious pastors do, show me the steep and thorny way to heaven, whilst like a puffed and reckless libertine himself, the primrose path of dalliance treads, and wrecks not his own reed.
Oh, fear me not. I stay too long.
Polonius enters.
But here my father comes. A double blessing is a double grace. Occasion smiles upon a second leave.
Yet here, Laertes. Aboard, aboard for shame. The wind sits in the shoulder of your sail, and you are stayed for. There, my blessing with thee. And these few precepts, in thy memory look thou character. Give thy thoughts new tongue, nor any unproportioned thought his act. Be thou familiar, but by no means vulgar. Those friends thou hast, and their adoption tried, grapple them unto thy soul with hoops of steel. But do not dull thy palm with entertainment of each new-hatched, unfledged courage. Beware of entrance to a quarrel. But being in, bear it that the opposed may beware of thee. Give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit, as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy. Rich, not gaudy, for the apparel oft proclaims the man. And they in France of the best rank and station are of a most select and generous chief in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. For loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This above all, to thine own self be true. And it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. farewell. My blessing season this in thee.
Most humbly do I take my leave, my lord.
The time invests you. Go. Your servants tend.
Farewell, Ophelia, and remember well what I have said to you.
'Tis in my memory locked, and you yourself shall keep the key of it.
Farewell.
Laertes leaves.
What is it, Ophelia, he has said to you?
So please you, something touching the Lord Hamlet.
Marry, well bethought. 'Tis told me he hath very oft of late given private time to you, and you yourself have of your audience been most free and bounteous. If it be so, as so 'tis put on me, and that in way of caution, I must tell you you do not understand yourself so clearly as it behoves my daughter and your honour. What is between you? Give me up the truth.
He hath, my lord, of late made many tenders of his affection to me.
Affection? Pooh, you speak like a green girl, unsifted in such perilous circumstance. Do you believe his tenders, as you call them?
I do not know, my lord, what I should think.
Marry, I will teach you. Think yourself a baby, that you have ta'en these tenders for true pay, which are not sterling. Tender yourself more dearly, or not to crack the wind of the poor phrase running it thus, you'll tender me a fool.
My lord, he hath importuned me with love in honourable fashion.
Fashion you may call it. Go to, go to.
And hath given countenance to his speech, my lord, with almost all the holy vows of heaven.
Aye, springs to catch woodcocks. I do know when the blood burns how prodigal the soul lends the tongue vows. These blazes, daughter, giving more light than heat, extincting both, even in their promise as it is a-making, you must not take for fire. From this time, be something scanter of your maiden presence. Set your entreatments at a higher rate than a command to parley. For Lord Hamlet, believe so much in him that he is young, and with a larger tether may he walk than may be given to you. In few, Ophelia, do not believe his vows, for they are brokers, not of that dye which their investments show, but mere imploritors of unholy suits, breathing like sanctified and pious bonds the better to beguile. This is for all. I would not, in plain terms, from this time forth, have you so slander any moment leisure as to give words or talk with the Lord Hamlet. Now look to it, I charge you. Come your ways.
I shall obey, my lord.
Polonius and Ophelia leave. Act 1, Scene 4. The battlements of Elsinore Castle. It is almost midnight. Hamlet enters with Horatio and Marcellus.
The air bites shrewdly. It is very cold.
It is a nipping and an eager air.
What hour now?
I think it lacks of 12.
No, it is struck.
Indeed? I heard it not. It then draws near the season wherein the spirit held his wont to walk.
What does this mean, my lord?
The king doth wake tonight and takes his rouse, keeps wassail, and the swaggering upspring reels. And as he drains his draughts of Rhenish down, the kettle drum and trumpet thus bray out the triumph of his pledge.
Is it a custom?
Marry, is't. But to my mind, though I am native here, and to the manner born, it is a custom more honoured in the breach than the observance. This heavy-headed revel east and west makes us traduced and taxed of other nations. They clep us drunkards, and with swinish phrase soil our addition. And indeed, it takes from our achievements, though performed at height, the pith and marrow of our attribute. So oft it chances in particular men, that for some vicious mole of nature in them, as in their birth, wherein they are not guilty, since nature cannot choose his origin, by their o'ergrowth of some complexion, oft breaking down the pales and thoughts of reason, or by some habit, that too much o'er leavens the form of plausive manners, that these men, carrying, I say, the stamp of one defect, being nature's livery or fortune's star, his virtues else, be they as pure as grace, as infinite as man may undergo, shall, in the general censure, take corruption from that particular fault. The dram of evil doth all the noble substance often doubt to his own scandal.
The ghost appears.
Look, my lord, it comes.
Angels and ministers of grace, defend us. Be thou a spirit of health, or goblin damned. Bring with thee airs from heaven, or blasts from hell. Be thy intents wicked or charitable, thou com'st in such a questionable shape that I will speak to thee. I'll call thee Hamlet, King, Father, Royal Dane. Oh, answer me. Let me not burst in ignorance, but tell why thy canonized bones, hearsed in death, have burst their cerements. Why the sepulchre wherein we saw thee quietly inured hath oped his ponderous and marble jaws to cast thee up again. What may this mean, that thou, dead corpse, again in complete steel, revisit'st thus the glimpses of the moon, making night hideous, and we, fools of nature, so horridly to shake our disposition with thoughts beyond the riches of our souls? Say, why is this? Wherefore? What should we do?
The ghost beckons Hamlet.
It beckons you to go away with it, as if it some impartment did desire to you alone.
Look with what courteous action it waves you to a more removed ground, but do not go with it.
No, by no means.
It will not speak, then I will follow it.
Do not, my lord.
Why? What should be the fear? I do not set my life at a pin's fee, and for my soul, what can it do to that, being a thing immortal as itself? It waves me forth again. I'll follow it.
What if it tempts you toward the flood, my lord, or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assume some other horrible form which might deprive your sovereignty of reason and draw you into madness? Think of it. The very place puts toys of desperation without more motive into every brain that looks so many fathoms to the sea and hears its roar beneath.
It waves me still. Go on, I'll follow thee.
You shall not go, my lord.
Hold off your hands.
Be ruled, you shall not go.
My fate cries out and makes each petty artery in this body as hardy as the Nemean lion's nerve. Still am I called. Unhand me, gentlemen. By heaven, I'll make a ghost of him that lets me. And stay away. Go on. I'll follow thee.
The ghost leaves and Hamlet follows.
He waxes desperate with imagination.
Let's follow. 'Tis not fit thus to obey him.
Have after. To what issue will this come?
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Heaven will direct it.
Nay, let's follow him.
Horatio and Marcellus leave. Act 1, Scene 5. Hamlet and the ghost enter a remote part of the castle.
Whither wilt thou lead me? Speak! I'll go no further.
Mark me!
I will.
My hour is almost come. when I to sulphurous and tormenting flames must render up myself?
Alas, poor ghost.
Pity me not, but lend thy serious hearing to what I shall unfold.
Speak, I am bound to hear.
So art thou to revenge when thou shalt hear.
What?
I am thy father's spirit, doomed for a certain term to walk the night, and for the day confined to fast in fires, till the foul crimes done in my days of nature are burnt and purged away. But that I am forbid to tell the secrets of my prison house, I could a tale unfold whose lightest word would harrow up thy soul, freeze thy young blood, make thy two eyes like stars start from their spheres, thy knotted and combined locks to part, and each particular hair to stand on end like quills upon the fretful porpentine. But this eternal blazon must not be to ears of flesh and blood. List, list, oh list, if thou didst ever thy dear father love.
Oh God!
Revenge his foul and most unnatural murder.
Murder?
Murder most foul, as in the best it is. But this most foul, strange, and unnatural.
Haste me to know it, that I, with wings as swift as meditation or the thoughts of love, may sweep to my revenge.
I find thee apt, and duller shouldst thou be than the fat weed that roots itself in ease on Lethe wharf, wouldst thou not stir in this. Now, Hamlet, here. It is given out that sleeping in my orchard a serpent stung me. So the whole ear of Denmark is by a forged process of my death rankly abused. But know, thou noble youth, the serpent that did sting thy father's life now wears his crown.
Oh, my prophetic soul, my uncle!
Aye, that incestuous, that adulterate beast! With witchcraft of his wit, with traitorous gifts. Oh, wicked wit and gifts that have the power so to seduce. One to his shameful lust, the will of my most seeming virtuous queen. Oh, Hamlet, what a falling off was there. From me, whose love was of that dignity that it went hand in hand, even with the vow I made to her in marriage, and to decline upon a wretch whose natural gifts were poor to those of mine. But virtue, as it never will be moved, though lewdness caught it in a shape of heaven, so lust, though to a radiant angel linked, will sate itself in a celestial bed and prey on garbage. But soft, methinks I scent the morning air. Brief, let me be. Sleeping within my orchard, my custom always of the afternoon, upon my secure hour, thy uncle stole with juice of cursed heaven on in a vial, and in the porches of mine ears did pour the leprous distillment, whose effect holds such an enmity with blood of man that swift as quicksilver it courses through the natural gates and alleys of the body. And with sudden vigour it doth posset and curd like eager droppings into milk, the thin and wholesome blood. So did it mine, and the most instant tetter barked about most lazar-like with vile and loathsome crust all my smooth body. Thus was I sleeping by a brother's hand of life, of crown, of queen at once dispatched, cut off even in the blossoms of my sin. Unhouseled, disappointed, unannealed, no reckoning made, but sent to my account with all my imperfections on my head. Oh, horrible! Oh, horrible! Most horrible! If thou hast nature in thee, bear it not. Let not the royal bed of Denmark be a couch for luxury and damned incest. But, howsomever thou pursuest this act, taint not thy mind, nor let thy soul contrive against thy mother aught. Leave her to heaven, and to those thorns that in her bosom lodge to prick and sting her. Fare thee well at once. The glow-worm shows the matin to be near, and gains to pale his ineffectual fire. Adieu, adieu, adieu. Remember me!
The ghost disappears.
Oh, you host of heaven! Oh, earth! What else?
And shall I couple hell? Oh, fie, hold my heart, and you, my sinews, grow not instant old, but bear me stiffly up. Remember thee. Aye, thou poor ghost, whilst memory holds a seat in this distracted globe. Remember thee, yea, from the table of my memory I'll wipe away all trivial fond records, all sores of books, all forms, all precious past, that youth and observation copied there, and thy commandment all alone shall live within the book and volume of my brain, unmixed with baser matter. Yes, by heaven! Oh, most pernicious woman! Oh, villain! Villain! Smiling, damned villain! My tables, meet it is I set it down, that one may smile and smile and be a villain! At least I'm sure it may be so in Denmark. So, uncle, there you are. Now, to my word. It is... adieu, adieu, remember me, I have sworn.
Horatio and Marcellus enter.
My lord! My lord!
Lord Hamlet!
Heaven secure him.
So be it.
Hello! Ho, my lord!
Hello, ho, boy! Come, bird, come!
How is my noble lord?
What news, my lord?
Oh, wonderful!
Could my lord tell it?
No, you will reveal it.
Not I, my lord, by heaven.
Nor I, my lord.
How say you, then? Would heart of man once think it? But you'll be secret?
Aye, aye, by heaven.
There's never a villain dwelling in all Denmark, but he's an arrant knave.
There needs no ghost, my lord, come from the grave to tell us this.
Why, right. You are in the right. And so, without more circumstance at all, I hold it fit that we shake hands and part. You, as your business and desire shall point you, for every man hath business and desire, such as it is. And for my own poor part, I will go pray.
These are but wild and whirling words, my lord.
I am sorry they offend you heartily. Yes, faith, heartily.
There's no offence, my lord.
Yes, by Saint Patrick, but there is Horatio, and much offence too. Touching this vision here, it is an honest ghost, that let me tell you. For your desire to know what is between us, or master it as you may. And now, good friends, as you are friends, scholars and soldiers, give me one poor request.
What is, my lord? We will.
Never make known what you have seen tonight.
My lord, we will not.
We will not.
Nay, but swear it.
In faith, my lord, not I.
Nor I, my lord, in faith.
Upon my sword.
We have sworn, my lord, already.
Indeed, upon my sword, indeed.
Swear!
Boy, sayst thou so? Art thou there, Trupany? Come on, you hear this fellow in the cellarage? Consent to swear.
Propose the oath, my lord.
Never to speak of this that you have seen. Swear by my sword.
Swear!
We do. We do.
Ic et ubique, then we'll shift our ground. Come hither, gentlemen, and lay your hands again upon my sword. Swear by my sword, never to speak of this that you have heard.
Swear by his sword.
We do.
Well said, old mole. Canst work in the earth so fast? A worthy pioneer. Once more remove, good friends.
Oh, day and night, but this is wondrous strange.
And therefore, as a stranger, give it welcome. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. But come, here, as before, never so help you mercy. How strange... or odd, some air I bear myself, as I perchance hereafter shall think meet to put an antic disposition on, that you at such time seeing me never shall with arms encumbered thus, or this head shake, or by pronouncing of some doubtful phrase, as well we know, or we could, and if we would, or if we list to speak, or there be, and if they might, or such ambiguous giving out to note, that you know aught of me. This do swear, so grace and mercy at your most need help you.
Swear!
We do.
Rest. Rest, perturbed spirit. So, gentlemen, with all my love I do commend me to you, and what so poor a man as Hamlet is may do to express his love and friending to you, God willing, shall not lack. Let us go in together. And still, your fingers on your lips, I pray. The time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite that ever I was born to set it right. Nay, come, let's go together.
Hamlet, Horatio, and Marcellus leave. Two, scene one. A room in Polonius's house. Polonius enters with his servant, Rinaldo.
Give him this money and these notes, Rinaldo.
I will, my lord.
You shall do marvellous wisely, good Rinaldo, before you visit him to make inquire of his behaviour.
My lord, I did intend it.
Marry, well said. Very well said. Look you, sir. Inquire me first what danskers are in Paris, and how, and who, what means, and where they keep, what company, at what expense. And finding by this encompassment and drift of question that they do know, my son, come you more nearer than your particular demands will touch it. Take you, as 'twere, some distant knowledge of him, as thus. I know his father, and his friends, and in part him. Do you mark this, Rinaldo?
Aye, very well, my lord.
And in part him, but, you may say, not well. If it be he, I mean, he's very wild, addicted so-and-so. And there put on him what forger as you please. Marry, none so rank as may dishonour him. Take heed of that. But, sir, such wanton, wild, and usual slips as are companions noted and most known to youth and liberty.
As gaming, my lord?
Aye. Or drinking, fencing, swearing, quarrelling, drabbing, you may go so far.
My lord, that would dishonour him.
Faith, no. As you may season it in the charge. You must not put another scandal on him. That he is open to incontinency, that's not my meaning. But breathe his faults so quaintly that they may seem the taints of liberty, the flash and outbreak of a fiery mind, a savageness in unreclaimed blood of generous sort.
But, my good lord...
Wherefore should you do this?
Aye, my lord, I would know that.
Marry, sir. Here's my drift, and I believe it is a fetch of warrant. You laying these slight sullies on my son, as 'twere a little thing soiled in the working, mark you, your party in converse, him you would sound having ever seen in the predominant crimes the youth you breathe of guilty, be assured he closes with you in this consequence. Good sir! Or so, or friend, or gentleman, according to the phrase or the addition of man and country.
Very good, my lord.
And then, sir, does he this. He does Oh, what was I about to say? By the mass, I was about to say something. Where did I leave?
At closes in the consequence.
At closes in the consequence. Aye, marry. He closes thus. I know the gentleman. I saw him yesterday, or the other day, or then, with such or such. And as you say, there was he gaming. There o'ertook in his rouse. There falling out at tennis, or perchance, I saw him enter such a house of sale. Videlicet a brothel, or so forth. See you now, your bait of falsehood takes this carp of truth. And thus do we of wisdom, and of reach with windlasses, and with assays of bias, by indirections, find directions out. So, by my former lecture and advice, shall you, my son? You have me, have you not?
My lord, I have.
Good, by ye. Fare ye well.
Good, my lord.
Observe his inclination in yourself.
I shall, my lord.
And let him ply his music.
Well, my lord.
Farewell.
Rinaldo leaves. Ophelia enters.
How now, Ophelia? What's the matter?
Oh, my lord, I have been so affrighted.
With what in the name of God?
My lord, as I was sewing in my closet, Lord Hamlet, with his doublet all unbraced, no hat upon his head, his stockings fouled, ungartered, and down dived to his ankle, pale as his shirt, his knees knocking each other, and with a look so piteous in purport as if he had been loosed out of hell to speak of horrors, he comes before me.
Mad for thy love?
My lord, I do not know, but truly I do fear it.
What said he?
He took me by the wrist and held me hard. Then goes he to the length of all his arm, and with his other hand, thus o'er his brow, he falls to such perusal of my face as I would draw it. Long stayed he so. At last, a little shaking of mine arm, and thrice his head thus waving up and down, he raised a sigh, so piteous and profound as it did seem to shatter all his bulk and end his being. That done, he lets me go, and with his head over his shoulder turned, he seemed to find his way without his eyes, for out of doors he went without their helps, and to the last bended their light on me.
Come, go with me. I will go seek the king. This is the very ecstasy of love, whose violent property foredoes itself, and leads the will to desperate undertakings as oft as any passion under heaven that does afflict our natures. Oh, I am sorry. What? Have you given him any hard words of late?
No, my good lord, but as you did command, I did repel his letters and denied his access to me.
Well, that hath made him mad. I am sorry that with better heed and judgment I had not quoted him. I feared he did but trifle and meant to rack thee. Oh, but beshrew my jealousy! By heaven, it is as proper to our age to cast beyond ourselves in our opinions, as it is common for the younger sort to lack discretion. Come, go we to the king. This must be known, which, being kept close, might move more grief to hide than hate to utter love. Come.
Polonius and Ophelia leave. 2, Scene 2. A room in Elsinore Castle. The King and Queen enter with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, followed by attendants and courtiers.
Welcome, dear Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Moreover, that we much did long to see you, the need we have to use you did provoke our hasty sending. Something have you heard of Hamlet's transformation? So I call it, since nor the exterior nor the inward man resembles that it was. What it should be, more than his father's death, that thus hath put him so much from the understanding of himself, I cannot dream of. I entreat you both, that being of so young days brought up with him, and sith so neighboured to his youth and haviour, that you vouchsafe your rest here in our court some little time. So by your companies, to draw him on to pleasures, and to gather so much as from occasion you may glean, whether aught to us unknown afflicts him thus, that opened lies within our remedy.
Good gentlemen, he hath much talked of you, and sure I am, two men there is not living to whom he more adheres. If it will please you to show us so much gentry and goodwill as to expend your time with us a while for the supply and profit of our hope, your visitation shall receive such thanks as fits a king's remembrance.
Both your majesties might, by the sovereign power you have of us, put your dread pleasures more into command than to entreaty.
But we both obey, and here give up ourselves in the full bent, to lay our service freely at your feet to be commanded.
Thanks, Rosencrantz, and gentle Guildenstern.
Thanks, Guildenstern, and gentle Rosencrantz. And I beseech you instantly to visit my too much changed son. Go, some of you, and bring these gentlemen where Hamlet is.
Heavens make our presence and our practices pleasant and helpful to him.
Aye. Amen.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern leave. Polonius enters.
The ambassadors from Norway, my good lord, are joyfully returned.
Thou still hast been the father of good news.
Have I, my lord? Assure my good liege, I hold my duty as I hold my soul, both to my God and to my gracious king. And I do think, or else this brain of mine hunts not the trail of policy so sure as it hath used to do, that I have found the very cause of Hamlet's lunacy.
Oh, speak of that. That do I long to hear.
Give first admittance to the ambassadors. My news shall be the fruit to that great feast.
Thyself do grace to them and bring them in.
Polonius leaves.
He tells me, my dear Gertrude, he hath found the head and source of all your son's distemper.
I doubt it is no other but the main, his father's death and our o'erhasty marriage.
Well, we shall sift him.
Polonius, Voltemand, and Cornelius enter.
Welcome, my good friends. Say, Voltemand, what from our brother Norway?
Most fair return of greetings and desires. Upon our first, he sent out to suppress his nephew's levies, which to him appeared to be a preparation against the Polack. But better looked into, he truly found it was against your highness, whereat grieved that so his sickness, age, and impotence was falsely borne in hand, sends out arrests on Fortinbras, which he, in brief, obeys, receives rebuke from Norway, and, in fine, makes vow before his uncle never more to give the assay of arms against your majesty. Whereon old Norway, overcome with joy, gives him 3,000 crowns in annual fee, and his commission to employ those soldiers so levied as before against the Polack, with an entreaty herein further shown, that it might please you to give quiet pass through your dominions for this enterprise, on such regards of safety and allowance as therein are set down.
It likes us well, and at our more considered time we'll read, answer, and think upon this business. Meantime, we thank you for your well-took labour. Go to your rest. At night we'll feast together. Most welcome home.
Voltemand and Cornelius leave.
This business is well ended. My liege and madam, to expostulate what majesty should be, what duty is, why day is day, night night, and time is time, were nothing but to waste night, day, and time. Therefore, since brevity is the soul of wit, and tediousness the limbs and outward flourishes, I will be brief. Your noble son is mad. Mad, call I it, for to define true madness, what is't but to be nothing else but mad, but let that go.
More matter with less art.
Oh, madam, I swear I use no art at all. That he is mad, 'tis true. 'Tis true, 'tis pity, and pity 'tis true. A foolish figure. But farewell it, for I will use no art. Mad, let us grant him, then. And now remains that we find out the cause of this effect, or rather say the cause of this defect. For this effect defective comes by cause. Thus it remains, and the remainder thus. Perpend. I have a daughter. Have, whilst she is mine, who in her duty and obedience, Mark, hath given me this. Now, gather and surmise.
Polonius opens a letter and reads.
To the celestial and my soul's idol, the most beautified Ophelia. Oh, that's an ill phrase. A vile phrase. Beautified is a vile phrase. But you shall hear thus. In her excellent white bosom, these, etc.
Came this from Hamlet to her?
Good madam, stay a while, I will be faithful. Doubt thou the stars are fire? Doubt that the sun doth move? Doubt truth to be a liar? But never doubt I love. Oh, dear Ophelia, I am ill at these numbers. I have not art to reckon my groans, but that I love thee best. Oh, most best, believe it. Adieu. Thine evermore, most dear lady, whilst this machine is to him. Hamlet. This, in obedience, hath my daughter shown me, and more above hath his solicitings, as they fell out by time, by means, and place, all given to mine ear.
But how hath she received his love?
What do you think of me?
As of a man faithful and honourable.
I would fain prove so. But what might you think when I had seen this hot love on the wing as I perceived it? I must tell you that before my daughter told me, what might you or my dear majesty or queen here think if I had played the desk, or table book, or given my heart a winking mute and dumb, or looked upon this love with idle sight, and what might you think? No. I went round to work, and my young mistress thus I did bespeak. Lord Hamlet is a prince out of thy star, this must not be. And then I prescripts gave her, that she should lock herself from his resort. Admit no messengers, receive no tokens, which done, she took the fruits of my advice. And he, repelled, a short tale to make, fell into a sadness, then into a fast, thence to a watch, thence into a weakness, thence to a lightness. And by this declension into the madness wherein now he raves and all we mourn for.
Do you think 'tis this?
It may be, very likely.
Hath there been such a time, I'd fain know that, that I have positively said 'tis so, when it proved otherwise?
Not that I know.
Well, take this from this, if this be otherwise.
If circumstances lead me, I will find where truth is hid, though it were hid indeed within the centre.
How may we try it further?
You know, sometimes he walks 4 hours together here in the lobby.
So he does indeed.
At such a time, I'll loose my daughter to him. Be you and I behind an arras, then. Mark the encounter. If he love her not, and be not from his reason fallen thereon, let me be no assistant for a state, but keep a farm and carters.
We will try it.
Hamlet enters, reading as he walks.
But look, where sadly the poor wretch comes reading.
Away, I do beseech you both, away. I'll board him presently. Oh, give me leave.
The king, queen, and attendants leave.
How does my good lord Hamlet?
Well, God have mercy.
Do you know me, my lord?
Excellent, well, you are a fishmonger.
Not I, my lord.
Then I would you were so honest a man.
Honest, my lord?
Aye, sir, to be honest, as this world goes, is to be one man picked out of 10,000.
That's very true, my lord.
For if the son breed maggots in a dead dog, being a good kissing carrion, have you a daughter?
I have, my lord.
Let her not walk with the son. Conception is a blessing, but as your daughter may conceive, friend, look to it.
How say you by that? Still harping on my daughter. Yet he knew me not at first. He said I was a fishmonger. He is far gone. And truly, in my youth, I suffered much extremity for love very near this. I'll speak to him again. What do you read, my lord?
Words, words, words.
What is the matter, my lord?
Between whom?
I mean the matter that you read, my lord.
Slanders, sir! For the satirical rogue says here that old men have grey beards, that their faces are wrinkled, their eyes purging thick amber and plum tree gum, and that they have a plentiful lack of wit, together with most weak hands. Oh, which, sir, though I most powerfully and potently believe, yet I hold it not honesty to have it thus set down. For yourself, sir, shall grow as old as I am, if like a crab you could go backward.
Though this be madness, yet there is method in it. Will you walk out of the air, my lord?
Into my grave.
Indeed, that's out of the air. How pregnant sometimes his replies are. A happiness that often madness hits on, which reason and sanity could not so prosperously be delivered of. I will leave him, and suddenly contrive the means of meeting between him and my daughter. My lord, I will take my leave of you.
You cannot, sir, take from me anything that I will not more willingly part with all, except my life, except my life, except my life.
Fare you well, my lord.
Oh, these tedious old fools.
You go to seek the Lord Hamlet. There he is.
God save you, sir.
Polonius leaves. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern return.
My honoured lord.
My most dear lord.
My excellent good friends. How dost thou, Guildenstern? Ah, Rosencrantz! Good lads, how do you both?
As the indifferent children of the earth.
Happy in that we are not over-happy. On fortune's cap we are not the very button.
Nor the soles of her shoe?
Neither, my lord.
Then you live about her waist, or in the middle of her favours.
Faith, her privates we.
In the secret parts of fortune? Oh, most true, she is a strumpet. What news?
None, my lord, but the world's grown honest.
Then is doomsday near. But your news is not true. Let me question more in particular. What have you, my good friends, deserved at the hands of fortune that she sends you to prison hither?
Prison, my lord.
Denmark's a prison.
Then is the world one.
A goodly one. In which there are many confines, wards, and dungeons, Denmark being one of the worst.
We think not so, my lord.
Why, then 'tis none to you. For there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. To me, it is a prison.
Why, then your ambition makes it one. 'Tis too narrow for your mind.
Oh, God! I could be bounded in a nutshell and count myself a king of infinite space, were it not that I have bad dreams.
Which dreams indeed are ambition, for the very substance of the ambitious is merely the shadow of a dream.
A dream itself is but a shadow.
Truly, and I hold ambition of so airy and light a quality that it is but a shadow's shadow.
Then are our beggars' bodies and our monarchs and outstretched heroes the beggars' shadows. Shall we to the court, for by my fay I cannot reason.
We'll wait upon you.
No such matter. I will not sort you with the rest of my servants, for to speak to you like an honest man, I am most dreadfully attended. But in the beaten way of friendship, what make you at Elsinore?
To visit you, my lord, no other occasion.
Beggar that I am even poor in thanks, but I thank you, and sure, dear friends, my thanks are too dear a halfpenny. Were you not sent for? Is it your own inclining? Is it a free visitation? Come, come, deal justly with me. Come, come. Nay, speak.
What should we say, my lord?
Anything but to the purpose. You were sent for. And there is a kind of confession in your looks which your modesties have not craft enough to colour. I know the good king and queen have sent for you.
To what end, my lord?
That you must teach me. But let me conjure you, by the rights of our fellowship, by the consonancy of our youth, by the obligation of our ever-preserved love, and by what more, dear, a better proposer can charge you withal, be even and direct with me whether you were sent for or no.
What say you?
Nay, then, I have an eye of you. If you love me, hold not off.
My lord, we were sent for.
I will tell you why. So shall my anticipation prevent your discovery, and your secrecy to the king and queen moult no feather. I have, of late, but wherefore, I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises, and, indeed, it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory. This most excellent canopy, the air, look you, this brave or hanging firmament, this majestical roof fretted with golden fire, why, it appeareth nothing to me than a foul and pestilent congregation of vapours. What a piece of work is man! How noble in reason, how infinite in faculties, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals. And yet, to me, what is this quintessence of dust? Man delights not me, nor woman neither, though by your smiling you seem to say so.
My lord, there was no such stuff in my thoughts.
Why did you laugh then when I said man delights not me?
To think, my lord, if you delight not in man, what Lenten entertainment the players shall receive from you. We coated them on the way, and hither are they coming to offer you service.
He that plays the king shall be welcome. His majesty shall have tribute on me. The adventurous knight shall use his foil and target. The lover shall not sigh gratis. The humorous man shall end his part in peace. The clown shall make those laugh whose lungs are tickle of the seer. And the lady shall say her mind freely, or the blank verse shall halt for it. What players are they?
Even those you are wont to take such delight in, the tragedians of the city.
How chances it they travel? Their residence, both in reputation and profit, was better both ways.
I think their inhibition comes by the means of the late innovation.
Do they hold the same estimation they did when I was in the city? Are they so followed?
No, indeed they are not.
How comes it? Do they grow rusty?
Nay, their endeavour keeps in the wanted pace. But there is, sir, an eyrie of children, little Iases that cry out on the top of question and are most tyrannically clapped for it. These are now the fashion, and so berattle the common stages, so they call them, that many wearing rapiers are afraid of goose quills and dare scarce come thither.
What? Are they children? Who maintains them? How are they escorted? Will they pursue the quality no longer than they can sing? Will they not say afterwards, if they should grow themselves to common players, as it is most like, if their means are no better, their writers do them wrong to make them exclaim against their own succession?
Faith, there has been much to do on both sides, and the nation holds it no sin to tarden to controversy. There was, for a while, no money bid for argument unless the poet and the player went to cuffs in the question.
It's possible.
Oh, there has been much throwing about of brains.
Do the boys carry it away?
Aye, that they do, my lord. Hercules and his load, too.
It is not very strange. For my uncle is king of Denmark. And those that would make mouths at him while my father lived give 20, 40, 50, 100 ducats apiece for his picture in little. S'blood, there is something in this more than natural, if philosophy could find it out.
Ah, there are the players!
Gentlemen, you are welcome to Elsinore. Your hands? Come then. The appurtenance of welcome is fashion and ceremony. Let me comply with you in this garb, lest my extent to the players, which I tell you must show fairly outwards, should more appear like entertainment than yours. You are welcome. But my uncle, father, and aunt, mother are deceived.
In what, my dear lord?
I am but mad north, northwest. When the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
Polonius returns.